Penguin Random House Audio presents Into the Magic Shop, a neurosurgeon's quest to discover the mysteries of the brain and the secrets of the heart. This is the author, James R. Doty, M.D. To Ruth and all those like her whose insight and wisdom are given freely. To His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who continues to teach me the meaning of compassion. To my wife, Masha, and my children, Jennifer, Sebastian, and Alexander, who every day are an inspiration. Introduction. Beautiful things. There's a certain sound the scalp makes when it's being ripped off of a skull, like a large piece of Velcro tearing away from its source. The sound is loud and angry, and just a little bit sad. In medical school, they don't have a class that teaches you the sounds and smells of brain surgery. They should. The drone of the heavy drill as it bores through the skull. The bone saw that fills the operating room with the smell of summer sawdust as it carves a line connecting the burr holes made from the drill. The reluctant popping sound the skull makes as it is lifted away from the dura, the thick sac that covers the brain and serves as its last line of defense against the outside world. The scissors slowly slicing through the dura. When the brain is exposed, you can see it move in rhythm and with every heartbeat. And sometimes it seems that you can hear it moan in protest at its own nakedness and vulnerability, its secrets exposed for all to see under the harsh lights of the operating room. The boy looks small in the hospital gown and is almost swallowed up by the bed as he's waiting to enter surgery. My Nana prayed for me, and she prayed for you too. I hear the boy's mother inhale and exhale loudly at this information, and I know she's trying to be brave for her son, for herself, maybe even for me. I run my hand through his hair. It is brown and long and fine, still more baby than boy. He tells me he just had a birthday. Do you want me to explain again what's going to happen today, champ, or are you ready? He likes it when I call him champ or buddy. I'm going to sleep. You're going to take the ugly thing out of my head so it doesn't hurt anymore. Then I see my mommy, Nana. The ugly thing is a medulloblastoma, the most common malignant brain tumor in children, and is located in the posterior fossa, the base of the skull. Medulloblastoma isn't an easy word for an adult to pronounce, much less a four-year-old, no matter how precocious. Pediatric brain tumors really are ugly things, so I'm okay with the term. Medulloblastomas are misshapen and often grotesque invaders in the exquisite symmetry of the brain. They begin between the two lobes of the cerebellum and grow, ultimately compressing not only the cerebellum, but also the brainstem, until finally blocking the pathways that allow the fluid in the brain to circulate. The brain is one of the most beautiful things that I have ever seen, and to explore its mysteries and find ways to heal it is a privilege I have never taken for granted. You sound ready to me. I'm going to put on my superhero mask and I'll meet you in the bright room. He smiles up at me. Surgical masks in operating rooms can be scary. Today, I will call them superhero masks and bright rooms so he won't be so afraid. The mind is a funny thing, but I'm not about to explain semantics to a four-year-old. Some of the wisest patients and people I have ever met have been children. The heart of a child is wide open. Children will tell you what scares them, what makes them happy, and what they like about you and what they don't. There is no hidden agenda, and you never have to guess how they really feel. I turn to his mother and grandmother. Someone from the team will update you as we progress. I anticipate it will be a complete resection. I don't expect any complications. This isn't just surgeon speak to tell them what they want to hear. My plan is for a clean and efficient surgery to remove the entire tumor while sending a small slice to the lab to see just how ugly this ugly thing is. I know both Mom and Grandma are scared. I hold each of their hands in turn, trying to reassure them and offer comfort. It's never easy. A little boy's morning headaches have become every parent's worst nightmare. Mom trusts me. Grandma trusts God. I trust my team. Together, we will all try to save this boy's life. After the anesthesiologist counts him down to sleep, I place the boy's head in a head frame attached to a skull and then position him prone. I get out the hair clippers. Although the nurse usually preps the surgery site, I prefer to shave the head myself. It is a ritual I do. And as I slowly shave the head, I think of this precious little boy and go over every detail of the surgery in my mind. I cut off the first bit of hair and hand it to the circulator to put in a small bag for the boy's mother. This is his first haircut, and while it's the last thing on his mom's mind now, I know it will matter to her later. It is a milestone you want to remember. First haircut, first tooth lost, first day of school, first time riding a bike. First brain surgery is never on this list. I gently cut away the fine light brown strands, hoping my young patient is able to experience each of these firsts. In my mind, I can see him smiling with a large gap where his front tooth should be. I see him walking into kindergarten with a backpack that's almost as big as he is, slung over one shoulder. I see him riding a bike for the first time, that first thrill of freedom, pedaling feverishly with the wind in his hair. I think of my own children as I continue to clip his hair. The images and scenes of all his firsts are so clear in my mind that I can't imagine any other outcome. I don't want to see a future of hospital visits and cancer treatments and additional surgeries. As a survivor of a childhood brain tumor, he will always have to be monitored. But I refuse to see him in the future as he's been in the past. The nausea and vomiting, the falling down, the waking in the early morning hours screaming for his mother because the ugly thing is compressing his brain and it hurts. There's enough heartbreak in life without adding this to the mix. I continue to gently clip his hair just enough so I can do my work. I make two dots at the base of his skull where we will make our incision, and I draw a straight line. Brain surgery is difficult, but surgery in the posterior fossa is even more so, and in a small child, excruciatingly difficult. The tumor is large, and the work painstakingly slow and precise. Eyes looking through a microscope for hours focused on one thing. As surgeons, we are trained to shut down our own bodily responses as we operate. We don't take bathroom breaks. We don't eat. We have been trained to ignore when our backs ache and our muscles cramp. I remember my first time in the operating room assisting a famous surgeon who is known not only for being brilliant, but also for being a belligerent and arrogant prima donna when he operated. I was intimidated and nervous, and as I stood next to him in the operating room, sweat began pouring down my face. I was breathing heavily into my mask, and my eyeglasses began steaming up. I couldn't see the instruments or even the operating field. I had worked so hard, overcome so much, and now here I was, doing surgery just like I had always imagined, but I couldn't see a thing. Then the unthinkable happened. A large drop of sweat rolled off of my face and into the sterile field. He went ballistic. It should have been a highlight of my life, my first time in surgery, but instead, I contaminated the surgical field and was summarily kicked out of the operating room. I have never forgotten that experience.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?